I was going to read some poems that came out of that experience, but I don't know if I will. I think I won't. I come from Detroit. Lois mentioned that, and I've written a lot about it. The young people were talking to me the other day and asking me what I would do if I were they. I would go out and have fun. I would not be a poet. I don't know what the hell I told them. I didn't know what to tell them. I just jabbered. But when I worked in the factories as a young man, those were the worst years of my life, I think, until I became a teacher. But they were worse, much worse. But I didn't realize it in 3 or 4 years that really I was meeting so many people and that I was a receptor for so much, so many people. I had no idea that 20 years later that it would all be so alive for me in my imagination. When I look back, I can see so much of that experience with incredible clarity. This is a little poem that I wrote about 5 or 6 years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago. I had a wonderful, just a fantastic week or 2 weeks. I don't know. I was going through a difficult time, and I went to bed, which might seem stupid, but I just gave up on everything and I went to bed, and I began to write in bed, and I didn't want to get out really. And I stayed in bed, I don't know, I guess it was a couple of weeks. I wouldn't go to work or talk to anybody. And gradually, things got really good, you know? I mean, I got into this whole bed trip and into my poetry in a way I hadn't been in a long time, really enjoying things. And this was one of the poems that came out of it. Once I got up to go to the bathroom, my wife changed the sheets. And in a curious way, kind of killed it. I came back and it didn't seem like home. So I went back to work, and that's why I'm here today, really. This poem's called Blasting from Heaven. At the time, I thought it was the worst of the poems I wrote in that 2 weeks. I wrote about 10 or 12 poems, but I think now it was far and away the best. It was a little crude, maybe. But it got what I was after. It's a poem about being up all night and across from a factory, and I've been working, and I go into a little beanery of these strange people, and they've been up all night. Everybody's sort of crazy the way you are when you're up all night. You haven't slept in a long time. And I try to capture the kind of humor and the stupidity and the way everything seems so profound at those times. It's called Blasting from Heaven. The little girl won't eat her sandwich. She lifts the bun and looks in, but the gray beef coated with relish is always there. Her mother says, "Do it for mother." Milk and relish and a hard bun that comes off like a hat. A kid's life is a cinch. And a mother's life. What can you do with a man like that? She asks the sleeping cook. And then the old Negro who won't sit. He's been out all night trying to get it. I hope he gets it. What did he ever do but get it? The Negro doesn't look. Though he looks like he's been out all night trying. Everyone's been out all night trying. Why else would we be drinking beer at attention? If she were younger, or if I were Prince Valiant, I would say that fate brought me here to quiet the crying, to sweeten the sandwich of the child, to waken the cook, to stop the Negro from bearing witness to the world. The dawn still hasn't come. And now we hear the 8 o'clock whistles blasting from heaven. And with no morning, the day is sold.